So don't even start there, Brother Lawrence. But man, we have sure enough had revival. I thought he was going to sit with Miss Sharon. I was going to shout there. Mm. Nah, not yet. Still working on it, ain't it? Hey, let me say this tonight. Let me say this. I hope everybody understands what I'm fixed to say. There's no way under God's green earth that you could ever pay men to work that hard. It's the way wherever you go. I mean, I don't care where we go. We built a building for the Indians. One in North Carolina took it down. We moved one, took one church building down in 3 days and put it up in five. Would you want me to tell you about that for a minute? I don't think y'all could handle that. It's just men giving back to the Lord because He's been so good to us. That's all it is. And I appreciate them men working so hard. And hey, listen, three complete buildings have got all new roofs on them in less than, 3 days? They probably do in 3 days, what it'd take most people probably a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks to do. So I sure appreciate these men taking their time, coming down here, and just being a I love being around them. I know they corrupt me, but but I sure like it, Amy. We're trying our best to corrupt your preacher. I wish you guys could have seen this. You'd had to have been there and seen it. We work at such a frenzy, and trying to rain, it was raining, and we was back here putting the roof on one of these buildings. So Brother Junior Smith, he had bought him this Makita drill. Well, he dropped it once, and it survived. He put the trigger back in it, and it still worked. Survived that trip. Lo and behold, he dropped it again, and a hammer. But this time, the Makita was like this. He looked pitiful. I asked him what he'd done with it. He said, "I put it in the dumpster." Bless his heart. That not too many Makitas could survive two drops. Y'all will get that in a minute. Okay, open your Bible if you would, please. The book of 2 Timothy. I'm honored that you come. I appreciate Brother Donnie bringing his people. I was telling Miss Hatton a long time ago, I said, "Miss Hatton, was you on something, drinking or hallucinating when you married Brother Donnie?" Miss Hatton's my buddy. I'm in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Now, I want you to take notes on me. I've done been told by Brother Tom and Brother Noble, you know, they want to go home early. I don't know when they're ever going to learn. If you do that, we go into overtime. Maybe they'll learn that. Y'all reckon? But I appreciate you being so attentive. Now, tonight's Wednesday night. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We'll start there in a moment. But let me say this. Brother Lawrence is exactly on hand. He's exactly right. This thing is going to intensify. The world systems out here is just going to keep intensifying. Did you hear the word pandemonium? Have y'all heard that this afternoon? Do you know what the word pandemonium means? It means wild, reckless, out of control. CNN News, I seen it just a moment ago. That's what they're already labeling it. I seen where they're trying in one country trying to kill all their hogs, and the hog owners was fighting them and rebelling against it. Did y'all see that on the news? I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you better get ready to get saved. Amen. Boy, I believe in the imminent return of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sure. Somebody said, "Well, now, the Lord's going to take us out of the great tribulation." I agree with that. I ain't got no problem with that at all. I don't believe the church goes through no part of no great tribulation. But I sure believe we're going to get right up to the door of it, what's called tribulation. And by the way, if you read your Bible, the first 3.5 years of great tribulation goes just exactly like we were here. I'm telling you, brother, you better get ready to leave this world. 2 Timothy 4, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Now, Paul is writing to young Timothy. Won't everybody get this? "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Now then, I find that he charges young Timothy. Look in verses 2. "Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why is Paul telling Timothy that? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves" what? Say it back to me. Say it back to me. Teachers having itching ears. Now watch this. Drop down to verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things, Timothy, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now then, in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now you need to underscore that in your Bible. My departure is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all of them that also that love his appearing. Look in verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now remember, up until these 10 verses, or 9 verses, in verse 1, he tells Timothy a charge. And then he cautions him. He says people are going to come. They're going to resist the truth. And then he gives them a course to follow. And then he mentions a crown. That's found in verses 8. But now drop down and look in verse 9. Why did Paul say, do thy diligence to come shortly? Now you need to understand this. Paul is in a prison. He's in a prison. In verses 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Then he says, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Demelta. So many people, they'll mention Demas, but they'll never mention Crescens, or they'll never mention Demelta. Look down in verse 7, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he's profitable for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. Then in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but then he says, but especially the parchments. But especially the parchments. Now look at me just for a moment, then I'll preach in a minute. In Paul's day, they did not have books like we have. They had scrolls, and they was written on scrolls, and he says, bring them parchments. Now drop down in verse 14. Alexandra, the coppersmith, did me much evil. Let's talk a minute. Everybody, let's talk a minute. Why did Paul do that? Brother George, why all of a sudden did Paul stop and say, Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me? Then he says, Alexandra, the coppersmith, have did me much evil. Why did he do that? He's in a prison. He's talking about going home. He's talking about exiting this world. He says, my departure's at hand. He's in a prison. They've been taken off people's heads. Now look in verses 14. Alexandra, he said, I want you to know not only his name, but I want you to know his occupation. He says, Alexandra, calls him by his name. Then he says, the coppersmith. Now watch this. Did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now look in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Isn't that wonderful that Paul would do that? Then in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, by the preaching, might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And then he says, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you, God, for loving us before we was ever even lovable. Lord, I pray that, God, you'd help us tonight. Lord, may I be able to lift up Christ. May they see him in a fashion, Lord, they've never, ever seen Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that have transpired. Lord, thank you for all the friendships that's been rekindled. Lord, thank you, Lord, for these men. And I pray you bless their families. Lord, I pray you bless them, Lord. I pray, God, in a special way, help every person tonight that's under the sound of my voice. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in this chapter, I don't have time to deal with every one of those men. But what I want you to do is go back up and look in verses 10, please. And we'll start there, where he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Then he says this, only Luke is with me. That's in verse 11. But then he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He says, the Lord reward him according to his works. Now, I'm the kind of person, all right, if I'm fixing to check out of this world and I know that I'm going to die, and Paul's already says my departure's at hand, and he says there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, why does he bring up all of these men? Why does his mind retro back to these men? Well, I want you to put this down. Men that Paul remembered. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? He says, beware of Alexander the coppersmith. And he says this. He says, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him, he says, according to his works. Boy, I begin to put it in my mind. I thought he is a type of what I call those that are hindering. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Well, I didn't come in on a turnip wagon yesterday. All the years that I've been preaching, there's all kinds of Alexander the coppersmith. There's been a whole lot of people that, I believe this with all my heart, if there ever was a time that the devil could put a roadblock and stop you, it's now. What I'm saying is, Alexander's a type that, what I call hindrances to the church. Everywhere I go, Brother Noble, this is one of the criteria that I hear. Now, you don't have them here probably. We have them all in Pulaski County. They say all them churches, all they're interested in is money. Well, I'm looking at y'all's faces. I mentioned money and the color just left y'all's face. Am I, Brother Bob, have you ever heard that down there where y'all from? Churches, that's all they care about is money. That's a hindrance. Would y'all agree with that? And here's another one. Them preachers, all they care about is money. Look right up here. Right here's one don't care. Son, God's been good to me. I tell them all the time, dear God, you can't harm me and you can't fire me. I'm saying there's a difference between a calling, amen. Anybody you have to pay is a low-down hireling. Say amen to me. But my point is, Alexander the coppersmith, they do a lot of hindrance. What do you mean, preacher? Says, this thing about money. I believe this all in my heart. In years gone by, the devil tried to destroy the church from on the inside, and I'm on the outside. Now he's working on the inside of it. Everywhere I go, see, I'm a church man, top of my head, the sole of my foot. Amen. A good church worth its weight in gold. Shout, yes, amen. The church, I'm talking about the church of the living God, it's not going to go down. Thank God it's going up. But let's just be honest, there's a whole lot of hindrances. But when you mention money, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. But when you, listen to me, churches got to have money. Y'all got a huge missionary program. Missionary, have you ever contemplated and thought about y'all supporting missionaries? Have you ever thought about how the gospel is going to the four corners of the earth? Have you ever thought about it? But my point is watch it. I was telling Miss Sharon today, all these men have picked up on it like a duck on a June bug. You ought to watch them. They've been watching all these kids around here in school. They've been watching. And Miss Sharon's got all them little old kids lined up, and they'll stand there. I asked them, I said, do you love Miss Sharon? I said, is she mean, that one little boy? But them kids are well behaved. And I was telling Miss Sharon, the devil will come to your place of service and do everything he can to get you to quit. He'll try his best. You're not mounting to nothing. What you're doing is not influential. Could I tell you something? Them little kids, that's where it all starts at. You're shaping and molding their lives. So what I'm saying is, I understand teachers have got to be paid. I understand people's got to live. Say amen to me. I understand we got to have money, amen. The church, I believe, thank God, all my life. I don't believe you ought to get out here and drum up all this business. Everybody's drumming up car sales and war sales and hot dog sales and all this other junk. Say amen. Lord, that went pitiful. Tithes and offerings. Say amen. Tithes, offerings. Y'all think I'm mean. I was fixing to leave out and have my car packed, and I was getting to go to revival. And I went down, I had to go fill up full of gas. And these bunch of kids was out there, and I wouldn't have thought anything about it until I looked over there and seen the church bus and had the church bus's name on the side of it. And I seen what they was doing. I put stop that car. I got out of the car, I said, is your preacher here? My wife says, and I get mad, my ears turn red. No, but our youth leader's here. I said, where's he at? They come over there, and God is my witness. They had water hoses. They're washing cars, and they had water hoses down these girls' blouses. They care not. I said, don't you realize and understand that's a bad testimony for the cause of Christ? Amen. Amen. Lord, look at, I wish I had me a mirror so y'all look at y'all's faces. Y'all agree with that? Say amen to me. What I'm saying is there's hindrances out here. And I understand we got to have money, but Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and then Alexandra has did me much evil. He's what I call, he represents hindrances, amen. What do you mean, brother, sister? I understand money. They'll say, money, church is after your money. And the preachers, all they care about is your money. And then I thought about these hindrances. I thought about this. People are sitting in our churches. It ain't always out there. Sometimes people are sitting in churches. They're so critical. That's a hindrance, amen.
Yes, it is.
Just critical. Come in and complain and fuss and gripe and say, well, I wish they'd turn the air conditioner up. I wish they'd quit turning the air conditioner down. I wish they'd quit turning down the air conditioner up so high. And just fuss and gripe and complain and find fault. I mean, critical spirit hurts the church, amen. I didn't come in on a load of turnips. I'm going to tell you right now, beats anything I've ever seen. Going to church and everybody's sitting in their own little pew and now they got a little prop they can put their feet on. Can you believe he come in here and move my prop? Don't get me started on that stuff. Hey, I'm talking about, we talk about money. I understand that money is a hindrance. Alexander of the coppersmith. But I'm talking about a critical spirit is hurting us from the inside. I'll tell you another one that's hindrances, buddy. This old unforgiving spirit that everybody's got. Yeah, right. Amen, sister. And I mean, they're unforgiving. They will not forgive. The Alexander coppersmiths are sitting on our church pews, and I'm talking about hindrances. I'm talking about what it does. I'm talking about criticalness hurts our churches. Now I'm talking about, with all that's within me, this unforgiving spirit that everybody's packing around. They got this bitterness about them. They got this hardness about them. They won't forgive. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forget it. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus on the cross looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No unforgiving spirit it hinders our churches. You know, I've been going to a church for over 20 plus years of my life. Every year of my life, I'm at this church. And they got two men in that church. One sat on one side and one sat on the other side. And I didn't know it after going several years. Anybody with any sense at all, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, to figure out that something's wrong in that church. This man sits on one side, this man sits on the other side, and they've been arguing and fussing, Brother James, over 6 foot of land for over 30 years they've been fussing over it. They won't speak to each other, yet they come to the same church. And I'm telling you, if one of them, for whatever reason, gets up and whatever has to get up in front of the church, the other one gets mad and gets up and walks out, that hinders the Spirit of God, amen. Amen. Better be glad I'm not their preacher. Amen, Brother Bill, say that again. They better be glad I'm not their preacher. I wouldn't put up with that stuff, say amen. Y'all think I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. I'm trying to, that hinders the work of the Spirit of God. Come in angry, go home angry, bitter, upset, mad. Ain't that pitiful? And they got this old hardness about them, and they got this old unforgiving spirit about them, and they're always bringing up, Brother David, something that happened 30 years ago. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, if I let everything that happened to me all the time come into my mind over the 40-some years that I've been preaching, I've had everything said about me. I've been cussed out, blessed out. I've been robbed. I've stole. I've done everything. Ain't that pitiful? We're talking about how this hindrance is in churches. I'm going to tell you something, Betty. Look, he's a little bit out. You know me for a long time. I come in from revival. Now you start fooling with my integrity, son, you're going to get me up. You're going to get me upset. Amen. Boy, what is wrong with you people? I think y'all took Valium or Prozac or something. Miss Kathy, they had me and my wife divorced. They had Mary and Nathan moved out of the house. I've already took up with another woman down in North Carolina. Son, my hair bristled up like a dog fixing to go to war. I got on, guess what? Let me tell you where it started at. Would you like to know where it started at, Brother Earl?
Yeah,
it started in a Baptist church in Ohio. that me and my wife had separated and that I had taken up with some woman down in North Carolina and they'd already moved out an apartment. Brother Noble, I'm talking about Henderson churches. Hey, do y'all understand this? Pete, you can live gun barrel straight all of your life, do one thing wrong, and everybody will believe the wrong rather than believing all the right. Wasn't a minute of it true, son. I got on the phone. I found out where it come from, and it started in the backseat of an independent Baptist church in Ohio. Brother Larry, I found out who said it. I said, hey, listen, I'm not calling you on the phone. I said, I'll be there just as soon as I can get there. But I said, you're going to apologize, and you're going to tell that church there's no truth to it. Look at y'all's faces. Did y'all want to know how it started? This long-tongued woman, excuse me, sitting back here like this and heard a conversation, and all she heard was that a certain preacher had left his wife and took up with a woman down in somewhere in another state. And guess what? And she said, it's Preacher Sisson. She said it. The people didn't say it. And started that junk all over the country that me and my wife had separated, and I shacked up with some woman down in North Carolina. Oh, Lord, I wish I had me a mirror so y'all could look at y'all's face. Haven't y'all ever been lied on? Well, you mark her down. If you try to live gun barrel right for the Lord, you're going to be lied on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it'll come through your family. What do you mean, preacher? Alexander the coppersmith have did me much evil. He represents what I call hindrances, amen. What do you mean, preacher? Money, critical, unforgiving, finding fault. Y'all, I disdain that junk. Say amen. Everybody always is trying to find fault with something, amen. I don't like this. I don't like that. Why'd they do that? Why'd they put that there? I don't like his tie. Well, buy him a new one. Solve that problem. I don't like, I'll be honest with you right now. I just don't like all them songs they sing. Well, then learn some new ones. I'm talking about finding fault, critical, unforgiving. I won't turn that stuff loose. No, 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 no. I mean, just, hey, look here. If you want to find fault, look up here. Lord God, if you turn around, if you look in the mirror, you might see some of your own. Where in the world do we get that we're faultless? Could I tell you something? Jesus loves you when you were in your sin. He died for you when you were in your sin. Hey, you ought to jump up and have a spell and say, thank God. You ought to be glad He looked past your sin and died and paid your sin debt. Amen.
Amen.
I go into churches and people will not. It's only by the grace of God you're not living in a sewer. Say amen. They get their little, they get their crowns all out of whack. And they get to thinking, I know I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. It's only by the grace of God you're not doing it. Amen. What I'm saying is our churches are filled with Alexander the coppersmiths. They represent hindrances. Now it gets a little better before I go on further. Now watch this. Let me show you. The second one is Demas. Notice in your Bible, Demas, if you look back in your Bible, verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, if Alexander, he did me much evil, and if he represents what I call hindrances, then Demas is representing what I call worldliness. Having loved this present world. Well, if you go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, there it says Christ died, delivering us from this present evil world. Can I tell you something? Let's be honest. Where I was preaching that last week, that man's been there 47 years. 47 years, and he's 87 years old. He organized the church 47 years ago. Boy, Brother Noble, last week, boy, we had a revival meeting broke out. I mean, them two men got saved, and it had been so long since they'd seen anybody got saved. So them old saints of God was shouting, hallelujah. And a boy, a lot of them was hugging and loving on each other. I'm talking about when people get saved, it'll solve a whole 99% of our problems, amen.
Amen.
I want you to listen to this. I didn't say nothing about that boy's hair. He come in there, and be honest with you, he was down in Roanoke, Virginia, and I thought sort of these ponytails had gone out of style. Say amen. He had him a ponytail. Boy, and God broke his heart. That old boy got saved. Would y'all let me tell you this? I sort of got angry. I think I told you about it. Well, I didn't get angry. It just sort of disappointed me. Building full of people. This man stood there with him, and that boy, tears were just dripping off the end of his chin, wanting to get saved. And that preacher, the lay preacher, he said, "Brother, sister, you ought to win this boy to the Lord." I'm thinking, well, why don't you? And then I said, no. I thought about it for me, and I thought, shoot, let me have that blessing. Amen. I took him over around the corner, won that old boy to the Lord. I stood him up there, and I said, tell him what happened. He said, I got saved, amen. Amen. Thank God. I didn't jump on him. I didn't say nothing. I said, I did tell him. I said, now, you're a new creature. I said, you need to be in the house of God. You need to grow in the grace of the Lord. Amen. Not the next night. He didn't come back with that thing cut off, that rat tail. But the next night he come back, he had that rat tail cut off. Had that tapered haircut. I didn't tell him, I didn't jump on him. I believe this with all my heart. God, the Holy Ghost, get inside of you. I believe he changes you from inside to outside, amen. All right, if God would do that for him, and he just got saved. Now listen to me, I believe worldliness is killing our churches. Now go back, look in your Bible. Everybody look if you would in 2 Timothy. Everybody say that, look in your Bible. What do you mean? I'm talking about, he says, Demas have loving this present world. Our problem's the world. Satan's got a plan. And the sin and allurement of sin and its pressure. And the suffering and its pain that it brings. And the sensuality and the pleasure of it. And he tries, the world tries to always draw us away from God. Would y'all listen to me for a moment? Brother David. Boy, I don't know why I like you over in that corner. See, I can just turn my head and we just have eye contact. Don't take as much energy. And it could be that maybe the Holy Ghost is singling you out. Do y'all have family reunions? No? How many of y'all have family reunions? Would you raise your hand? Have y'all ever noticed? Now then, they're going to have them on Sunday. Have y'all ever noticed that? How many of y'all ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Sunday. Yeah. They know I'm a preacher. They know I'm not going to no family reunion on the Lord's Day. I'm not doing it. Amen. Lord help us. Let me say it one more time. I'm not doing it.
Amen.
Y'all, maybe y'all don't have the grit, maybe y'all don't have the determination of God. Now listen to this. Our family gets together, they're going to have a family reunion. Now, they don't even send me a letter anymore of invitations. They don't do that. All right? My uncle and I was one got it all started. The Sissons, the Waldens, the Wrens, all this whole clan, we'd all meet together, start to have a family reunion. Well, then notice, they sort of isolated me. Now, that hurts me. I love my family. I do. I like being around them. But you see, light and darkness has no fellowship together. So if I go to the family reunion, and I'm not going to go on the Lord's Day, say amen right there. I'm not Pharisaical, but I'm not going to go to the Lord's Day on no family reunion. I'm not going to do that. I tell my nieces, put clothes on. I tell my uncles, quit bringing their liquor. But what I want you to see is this. Have y'all ever noticed everything is geared to draw you away from God? They schedule meetings, the secular world does, to draw you away from God. Y'all ever noticed that? The family reunion is just one incident. But I'm saying the world system. And somebody will ask me this, say, Brother Sisson, well, what is the world? The world is anything and everything that is in opposition to God. I don't care what it is. And brother, we're living in a world that we're, hey, this world is our not, it's an enemy. You listen to this. So Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. It destroys our witness. This world system does. It distorts our very desires. It confuses our value system. And the world is always trying to squeeze us into its mold. Let me give you all a classic example. Let me give you a classic. Where's Larry at? Larry, let me see the other half of your tie. Other half of it. Throw that over your shoulder. The little one right there. See it? Do you remember when they used to be about that size? How many of y'all remember when ties used to be like that? How many of y'all? Look at Larry. He's gone worldly. Look at Sisson. He got a wide tie. I told my wife, I said, don't you bring none of them wide ties home. I'm not wearing them. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a skinny tie or wide tie. I'm just trying to get you to see, the world's always trying to compact us into its image. It's like my little grandchildren. Boy, I got me a good illustration on this. I guarantee you got them. You know that factory Play-Doh? Huh? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Factory Play-Doh. Y'all got some at school? I didn't know Brother Bradley plays with factory Play-Doh. I couldn't resist that. That's amazing how stuff just slips out of me. The Play-Doh factory, Brother Larry, you take the Play-Doh, put it in there, put them little dies in there, and push them down, and then whatever dies in there, when it comes out, that's the same shape, the Play-Doh will be the shape as that die. And I thought about it, that's exactly what the world's doing to us. It's exactly what it's doing to us. He says, having delivered us from this present evil world, but then he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He represents what I call just absolute worldliness. We go back and watch this. Are you ready? Go back, look in your Bible. Watch this. I'm back to 2 Timothy 3. 4. Where am I? Alexander, he represents hindrances. And then Demas, he represents what I call having loved this present evil. Look here. Let me give you something, I got a hold of this. How would you like to bring your mama back? Let her stand right here, or let her get a glimpse of just what's going on today, 2009, Wednesday, in this world. Your mom. She'd be ashamed. Huh? She'd be ashamed. I'm talking about, can you imagine if we was to bring our grandparents back and let them stand here? Can you imagine what they'd say about us? Can you imagine? Let's stop right a minute. Let's accelerate to 2012. It's only 3 years down the road. Wonder what it'll be like then. Have y'all ever noticed television? Have y'all ever noticed it's all nudity? I mean, advertisements, everything is nudity. And you know what bothers me? I told my wife, I said, it seems like that everybody just gets used to it and don't say nothing about it. The language. Well, my grandpa, dear God, if you come in his house and use the words that they use now, he'd have showed you the front door. I guarantee you, buddy, but we got one sitting in there. Ain't that pitiful? What I'm trying to get you to see, the thing's got a button. I got a Jesus box. Y'all ought to get you one of them. That's what I call the thing. It's called a Jesus box. I hooked it to my TV. It bleeps all that junk out of there. I want to shoot the thing sometime. I'm going to one of these days, Don. But let's just be honest. Hey, ain't we come a... Hey, Brother Rock, Brother Richardson. I was preaching for this preacher. He said, there's having their homecoming day. She's standing here. Now here she's 88 years old. Charter member. Preacher looked down at her and said, anybody got a testimony? Any of our charter members have got a testimony? She's the only one in the whole church. She stood up and said, we've come a long way, baby. And just sit down. We've come a long way, baby. Well, we have come a long way, ain't we? Everybody calls it progress, but I'll be honest, I don't like all this junk. Man, I still like I love Lucy. I love when the darlings come to town on Andy Griffith. I'm sorry. I like it. I like him blowing on that jug. And I sure like it, buddy, when old Ernest T comes and throws them rocks. I love you. Be good, Melvin. What are you trying to get me to see, preacher? I'm trying to. We've come a long way. Alexandra represents hindrances, but then Demas represents the world. Now watch this, drop on down. Then he says, Mark, please look in your Bible. Everybody please do this. It won't take me but a minute. Look back if you would in your Bible, please, and look in verse 11. Only Luke is with me. I'm trying to get you to see he's sitting in a prison, and he brings up these men. He says, only Luke is with me. Then he says, take Mark. Let me show you this. Go to the book of Acts with me right quick, Hurley. Book of Acts. I want you to read with me Acts, please, chapter 15. Why? I do know this. If you read your Bible, Paul and Barnabas had a fallout. They'd had a disagreement. I can prove it to you. Look in your Bible in Acts 15 and look in your Bible in verse 2. Ready? When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation was with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now watch this. Go over just one page in your Scofield Bible and look in verse 36 in chapter 15. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. Verse 37, and the Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now watch this. Watch this. Drop down and look in verses 8, 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pavilia and went not with them to the work. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark. Now look up here. Everybody look up here. That's the last time you'll ever hear Barnabas ever mentioned in the Word of God. Right there. You ought to put that on the fly leaf of your Bible. He leaves off the scene. But now watch this. Paul and Barnabas had a problem. Was the problem over Mark? Now watch this. I got to show you. Now watch this. I'll let you come to the determination. Then he says, Barnabas took Mark. Now then, and sailed unto Cyprus. Now I want you to watch this. Now look. Now then, we're back to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 4. Now then, Paul's in a prison, and the Bible says in verses, if you look down in your Bible in verse, where I'm at, verse 11, only Luke is with me, take Mark. Now what do you mean? Something had happened. Something had happened. Now Paul says, bring Mark. Yep. I wish y'all would get that. He says, bring Mark. What do you mean, brother sister? Somehow or another, something back there had happened. What do you mean? In the heart of Mark, what had happened to him? What had happened to him? Did somebody go to him and put the arm around him? I don't know, but I sure know we need that in our churches. Oh, we need unity in the house of God. Say amen to me. I don't know who went to Mark. I don't know what transpired back there. But something got a hold of Paul and said, bring Mark with me. Boy, I believe this with all my heart. There's so many people right on the threshold of quitting. And just maybe if somebody, old saint of God, went and put their arm around them, maybe they wouldn't quit. Maybe if somebody said a kind word to them, say amen. Maybe if somebody went and showed them a little bit of love, maybe if somebody went a little farther with them, amen. Alexander the coppersmith, he represents what I call this thing, and I believe hindrances. But Demas, I believe he represents having loved this present world. But Mark, somehow or another in my mind, this is what, I believe our churches need this. God knows I believe I need this. Anybody ever been angry at anybody? I can't get up all my hands and feet. What'd you do about the anger? Our churches need what I call a reconciliation ministry. Just being reconciled one to the other. You put Brother Arden and I together 24-7, and I'll guarantee there's things he and I are not going to see eye to eye or actually agree on. Well, you don't either, little Amish boy. I love that boy. Do you understand what I just mean by that, Betty? Sometime or another, our personalities will just conflict. But I'm saying people are dying and going to hell. Right. Yes. And there's something bigger than the self on the throne of your life. I've just learned to do this. I honestly, before God, believe me, I know when people's mad at me. I got to tell you this one. I went to this church, I think 11 or 12 years of my life. Every year of my life. And I'd get up to preach, and this woman would stay for the song service. She'd stay for the Sunday school, but as soon as I'd get up and preach, she'd go out and sit in the vestibule. All them years. Every time I'd go there, she'd do it. As soon as the last amen was over, son, they'd go to get in their car and head to the house. She wouldn't say a word. I went up there, I don't know how many years. Preacher said, Brother Sisson, said, we have a breakfast engagement in the morning. I said, really? I said, I'll be ready, let's go. He said, I don't think you want to know where we're going. I said, well, where are we going? It didn't have a clue. And he named this woman's name. I said, well, would she be having us over for breakfast? She can't stand me. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, if we're going to eat breakfast, son, you're going to eat first because she may fill mine for the arsenic. That's what I'm thinking. We go over there, and Miss Betty, she treated me so nice. You just can't believe this. Give me a hand. She just treated me so nice. I mean, she did. She just treated me so nice. And I was getting worried. We sit down at the table, boy, and she fixed me eggs over light. She fixed me a bowl of gravy, fried potatoes, had me a big garden ripe tomato. Whoopee! Whoopee! I can't get my voice up. Whoopee! Oh, I love it. I'm sitting there, boy, and she looked over me and she said, before we pray, she said, I have something that I need to say to Brother Sisson. I said, oh, Lord. I didn't know what. Honestly, I didn't know what. She said, Brother Sisson, and she is crying and tears are dripping off the end of her chin. She said, would you please forgive me for how I've treated you? Well, I said, ma'am, forget it. I was really wanting to eat. I said, forget it! Honestly, I meant that from my heart. Every year I was there, I tried to be good to that woman. She wouldn't let me be good to her. Y'all ever tried to be good to somebody that didn't want you to be good to them?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I said, ma'am, it's all right. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Nope. She said, I need to get this off my chest. She said, you've been coming up here all these years. She said, I told my husband that man is as counterfeit as a $13 bill. She said, there ain't nobody can be that happy. Can you believe that? All of them years, she was waiting on me. She couldn't believe that I would be that happy or jubilant. Did you know if you're really happy or jubilant and you're not happy and jubilant, people don't like it? They'll think, what's wrong with him? He's on wacky weed or something. That's the truth. By the way, now then I get a card from every year of my birthday. Ain't that a blessing? What I'm saying is we need a ministry of reconciliation. How about churches? Boy, don't they need to be reconciled. I'm not talking about compromising. Say amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Churches can't even get under the same roof together. Ain't that pitiful? That's the reason I appreciate Brother Don and his people coming. Can't worship together. Angry at each other. Mad at each other. My wife taught me one of the greatest lessons about turning stuff loose. Turning stuff loose. I can get angry at Miss Betty. I can get bitter at her, but it ain't going to hurt her. Destroy me. Say amen to me. I can pack that stuff around and get ulcers if I want to. Man, I like to sleep too much, dear God. Amen. If y'all don't perk up, we're going to be here a lot more longer than what y'all think. Have you ever tried? Anybody, George? Have you ever tried to go to sleep and couldn't go to sleep? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been so angry inside of you, whether it's justifiable or not? Have you ever just been that way to where you couldn't sleep and you couldn't eat? And you ever been that way, Brother Larry? I told my wife one day, I said, one day I'm going to poison you. I'm going to divorce you. I said, I'm going to shoot you. Why? I said, Mary, honey, we go to bed. I said, you sit down on the bed and before your head hits the pillow, you're in another world. Honestly, that makes me so mad I want to wring her neck. You know really what makes me want to wring her neck? The next morning I said, Mary, you went to bed sleep just like that. She said, if you get your heart right, you can do that. Hey, man, I don't think that's humorous. She told me, she said, you need to turn this stuff loose. Amen. We're way too thin-skinned. We need a ministry of reconciliation. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about sacrificing the cardinal truths. I'm not doing that. Say amen. I know what the Bible teaches. Amos says, can two walk together lest they be what? Agreed. I understand that. I'm talking about we can get angry. You can get bitter. Sure you can. But I'm saying if I believe this mark represents what I call a spirit of unity, amen. I want you to watch this. Drop down. Watch this. Look in your Bible. 2 Timothy 4. So we said Alexandra, then it's Demas, and then Mark. Now watch this. Then he says, Luke is only with me. Now I thought to myself, thank God for them Lukes. Say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah, thank God for Lukes.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't know how many times in my life, Brother Jay, you don't know how many times I'm talking about. You don't know how many times somebody has come to me in my life. I'm talking about faithful people, amen. I'm talking about people that, like Luke, he says, only Luke is with me. Thank God for them, Brother. Ain't that a blessing, Brother Earl? Thank God for them, boy, that you can go to. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, thank God those are, I mean, give of their time, and they give of their resources, their ability, and they carry the burdens of others. Amen. Yeah. Boy, I thank God. Hallelujah for the Lukes of this world. I got more friends and moms and dads and brothers and sisters than y'all got hair on your head. Well, God's been good to me. You think about how good God's been to you. He says, only Luke is with me. I read everything I could read, and I thought, is Paul feeling sorry for himself? Look down, if you would, please. I want you to hurry. It won't take me but a minute. Look, if you don't mind, in verses 16, please. Everybody ready? At verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Now watch this. Well, all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Paul said, Lord, I pray that it don't be laid to their charge. Amen. Watch your next verse. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Talk back to me. Where's he at? Where's Paul at? He's where? He's in prison. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. We may come down to that, Brother Larry. We may all come down to that right there, son. I know people don't believe this. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now watch this. Then he says, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And then he says this, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Then watch this. And the Lord shall. And that word shall is an emphatic word. You need to write this on the flyleaf of your Bible. And the Lord shall do what? Deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, that ought to make you jump up and down and have a spell. Hey, there's some won't stand. Thank God there's some that will stand. Hallelujah. And there's one that will stand with you through all the thick of time. His name is Jesus. Alexander the coppersmith, he represents what I call, and I believe this all in my heart, hindrances. Boy, I don't want to stand before God knowing I'm a hindrance. And then Demas, having loved this present evil world. I don't like what this world's doing to us. I don't like how it's engulfing our young people. I don't like what it's doing to them. Honest for God, say amen. I don't like it. I pray and I try my best to be a light, try to be salt. But I don't like how the world is compacting and changing. Hey, churches are changing. Families are changing. People are changing. We're in a world of change. Amen. Yeah. Then watch this. He says, only Luke is with me. Thank God for all the Lukes. I don't know about you people. Boy, but I sure thank God for them that have helped me over the years. Boy, I thank God for them that have been a real asset in my life. Not just necessarily monetarily, but I'm talking about, boy, would y'all let me take just 2 minutes to tell you something and I'll close. I'm talking about how the Lord will help you. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I look back over at it and I couldn't have been wrong at it. Travel, remember what I'm talking about. I was scheduled to be with him in revival the week after Nathan got killed. And I had to go right past right where my boy had got killed, where 4 people went out into eternity. Car head on. Took my boy out of this world. I in my heart, the only way I can do is tell you how I felt. I knew that if I didn't go, I knew what happened. I just didn't know. I knew what happened. So they put it on the radio. They did a tribute to me and my wife and to my son, Nathan. Brother David Carr, the general manager, asked me, would I come over there? He kept me on the radio for a solid hour, 50,000-watt station. That was sort of therapeutical for me and helpful to me, and not only physically, mentally, spiritually, every other way. I got ready to leave, and Brother David said, Brother Sisson, he said, do you think Miss Mary would come and let us interview her? And I'm thinking, no. I don't think my wife would do that. I'm not thinking that. I didn't say it orally, but I just thought it. And before I could find the words coming out of my mouth, what was in my heart, I just found myself saying yes, that I believe she would come. And this is our baby boy. My wife went over there and they interviewed her for over an hour. I got to tell you all this, I'm getting up to the point. Now they kept my, and you can't believe how many people wanted that copy of that interview with my wife for over an hour. I have cards. I'm not exaggerating. 6-7 foot. You never seen too many cards in your life that I've got from people from that radio station wanting help, and most of them where they had children killed. Okay. Now I'm scheduled with them. We go over there, and my wife was at the lowest point she ever was in her life. You got to understand how close Nathan and her were. How tight Nathan, my boy, and that's her baby boy. I'm sitting up there. The building's full of people. And this woman walked up to me and she said, "Are you Preacher Sisson?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Is your wife here?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And her face was all distorted from, I didn't know it at the time, but she had been in a fire. And her face is just all where it had been burned. And she told me this, just like this. She said, "The Lord sent me here for your wife." She says, "I drove 2.5 hours. Do you remember this, Travis? She says, "The Lord told me to come here." She said, "We got directions and we came early. We've been waiting to see your wife." I pointed my wife out and she went straight up here to my wife. And she had lost a child in a fire. And she was burned like this trying to get her child out of the fire. She put her arms around my wife and put her hand like this on my wife's face. And she says, "The Lord sent me here to you to tell you the Lord will stand with you and help you." I've never seen her again to this day. She's never called again. She says, "The Lord told my," this is what the Lord said, "The Lord will strengthen you and help you. He'll stand with you through this valley." And it was just like this, and my wife, God is my witness, it's just like this. I could tell y'all some terrible. My wife thought that she, in her mind, she thought she could go over there and dig Nathan up. She actually thought that she could dig Nathan up. She says, "If I can just but touch it." See, y'all don't understand it. I don't know. You'd have to walk where you walked until you've lost a child, a baby. And everybody thought, she's losing her mind. Boy, you don't know how I thank God that people stood with me during that time. But I'm saying it was just like that woman walked and told my wife, "The Lord will stand with you and He will strengthen you and help you. The Lord sent me here to tell you that." Just like this. Boy, it was an about face for my wife. Took her several, it was about face, but I'm talking to get up out of that valley she was in. What I want you to see tonight, Luke is with me. There'll be some that'll stand. There'll be some that won't stand, but there'll be one that'll stand with you.
Yes, sir.
Now, y'all together, strength met. Let's do this. I want you to stand, bow your head, close your eyes. Luke is with me. Mark?
Yeah.
Somewhere they'd had a disagreement. While the piano player's coming, and the organist is coming with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a moment. Unashamedly tonight, unashamedly, I want you to listen. Brother, sister, I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand real high. I'm saved. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Anybody ever done you wrong? Would you raise your hand? Take them down. God bless your heart. You know what I want you to do? Has anybody ever been a real blessing to you? Been a help to you? Boy, you're walking through a deep valley. Boy, you needed help. The Lord stood with me. Sure, the demons isn't there. The demons having loved this present evil world. I want you to slip to the nearest aisle. I want you to come tonight. Just get out of your seat and come. And say, "God, help me to be a mark. Lord, help me to bring unity. Lord, help me to get rid of the anger. Help me, Lord, to get rid of the bitterness in my heart. Lord, there needs to be a ministry of reconciliation in our families. Families won't even speak to each other. Children won't even speak to their moms and dads. I'm going to ask you to come. Well, for God's sake, if you're here tonight and unsaved, you ought to get out of your seat and come tonight. Come on, our Father. Lord, bless your wonderful name for all of those that, Lord, have stood. Thank you, Lord, for all the times that you stood with us in all of our valleys. Lord, I look back and I look down through the channels of time, and Lord, I see what you've done for me and my family. Lord, I think about all that have stood with us and helped us. Lord, I think about all the times that, Lord, when we was in a deep, dark valley, those that you sent our way, Lord, we can't help but raise our hands and praise you and say, thank God. Lord, would you please, God, give us, Lord, strengthen us as you did Paul. Speak to these dear people. Lord, please tonight give us a grateful and a thankful heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Larry. Would you come tonight?